Hey everyone, I hope all is well with you and your families. My name is Octavian Smith Jr. I'm a student athlete here at Payne Branch High School, located in Burnsville, Maryland. I'm the class of 22, meaning I'm a junior. I play primarily football here at Payne Branch, along with basketball and track. I was introduced to Lead 'Em Up my sophomore year of the 2019-2020 season. And Coach Adam Bradley and the Lead 'Em Up program has helped us significantly in regards of our leadership skills. It has helped us become one unit, a brotherhood, build an unbreakable bond and chemistry together, along with challenging one another to be the best them possible. And that certainly played a part in our success throughout the season. And for me personally, Lead 'Em Up has impacted me in a way that I simply can't explain in words. Lead 'Em Up has not only helped shape me into the person that I am today, but the person I shall become. And for that, I will forever be grateful for Coach Bradley and the Lead 'Em Up program. Being a young leader on the team my sophomore year of 2019, it has certainly helped me when it came time to step up to the plate front and center come 2021. Lead 'Em Up has challenged me day in and day out to be better than I was yesterday. And along with staying in the green and persuading those around me to join me in the green team as well. I strongly suggest Lead 'Em Up to any and everybody. I promise you, you won't be let down whatsoever. Lead 'Em Up certainly helps you reach the peak of your potential as a leader to better yourself as well as those around you. Thank you, Coach Bradley.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Today I'm joined by Coach Kyle, our Southeast Regional Coach with Lead 'Em Up, discussing a fun topic, fun in the sense that it's going to be some discussion-based, and I think it's going to generate a variety of different opinions from coaches and parents. In the community, we absolutely want to hear where you stand on this topic. So as you're listening to this and you go one way or the other, please let us know on social. You can reach us on any of the social platforms that Lead 'Em Up and let us know where you stand on this. But today, should parents keep kids from sports to teach them lessons? The reality is we rely on consequences to help fuel the lessons for our kids. We do. Whether that consequence is sitting in timeout when they're younger, to not having their devices, to losing their driver's license, which was a common one in my high school age from my mom. We rely on these consequences to help us hold our kids accountable. But it brings up an interesting point when we talk about the consequences now, not just affecting the player, the person, the kid, but now when we incorporate a consequence of having them taken off the sports team, having them lose sports, now that consequence isn't just their consequence. It now carries over to a group of individuals' consequences. Now a coach is affected. Now teammates are affected. But we also need to recognize that sports, in most kids' mind, is their number one thing. It is what they enjoy more than anything. So if there was ever a consequence to lose that could help us teach a lesson, sports would be the number one consequence to lose. It could get that point across greater than almost anything else that is in the kid's life at that moment. It could serve as the greatest teaching tool, or it couldn't. There could be downward effects to this. Should parents keep kids from sports to teach them lessons? Kyle, you've got some opinions on this. Before I share my beliefs and some of my thoughts, where do you go with it, Kyle? Because I'm curious your input.
Yeah, this is a topic, like you said, I think should be fun to talk in the sense that we'll have a lot of opinions. And I'll share some of the ones that I've gathered from other people. But for me personally, I look at it from two different lenses. As a coach, and as a parent, because I have two young boys, one in fourth grade, one in first grade. So I'll start with the first scenario here. And let's say we're in youth sports, right? One of the parents on the team decides that their kid is not going to be at practice or the game for a week or two because of misbehavior at home. And they want to drive the point home that sports are a privilege, not a right. To your point, that this is one of the things that the child looks forward to most. And maybe in the effort of taking that away from the child, that will help them realize the consequence of their behavior. I completely understand that. I'm all for parents teaching a healthy discipline, responsibility, and accountability in their children. This topic got brought up for me because not only have I coached at the high school level, but now I coach at the youth level as well and am a parent. So when this came up to me as a youth coach, I 100% supported the parent and told them, I understand your decision. I support it. Let me know when that child can come back and play. But in the back of my mind, I'm starting to say the what if on numbers, especially in a time period that we're in right now because of COVID. Kids get quarantined. They may not be sick, but they can't play. So, for example, we're in youth football down here in Florida right now, flag football, 6-on-6. We've got 9 kids on our team. So now one kid is not able to be there because of discipline at home. I understand that. One was actually sick, right? Couldn't be there. The other one, parents had a trip planned or something along those lines. It was, you know, right around the spring break time. So we're down a couple players, and I think one was actually in quarantine, wasn't sick either. But I'm going into the game like, well, if the kid that was not at practice on Monday isn't feeling better and isn't at the game, we're now at risk of a forfeit. So at the youth level, and we'll go back to the reasons here in a little bit, I'm going to take a stance and say I am not in favor of holding kids out of sports at the youth level, because of the ripple effect that it could have on other people's time, money, and investment. So I'll say no at the youth level. At the high school level, being a high school coach, if a kid gets pulled because of grades, conduct outside of school, conduct inside of school, I'm 100% for that, because I think there's more that you can do with the level of players or the numbers that's needed to field the team. So it's kind of different for me, but I'll say no at the youth level, yes at the high school level. What do you think, Adam?
I've got so many thoughts here. Does taking them off a team communicate that it's okay to not care for the team? Right? Like, I mean, I understand what we're trying to accomplish to teach this individual a lesson, get them to understand the consequences of whatever they did. But we put such an onus on being there for your team and how important the team is, that does it inadvertently kind of communicate to the kid, it's okay to kind of let the team down. And I understand that may be part of what you're trying to twist into the lesson, okay, to the kid. But when you just take the team and let's say the team falls apart, right, does that potentially increase the chances of that kid maybe not holding the team, holding their counterparts, holding, because listen, there's no way, we work in teams our entire life. Okay. I mean, that's exactly. You work in teams your entire life. And when you're 9, 10, and you just get pulled from a team and the team falls apart and it is what it is, does it play a role mentally into your mind that letting the team down is not the biggest deal? Okay, I get it. Everyone got inconvenienced. Everyone got screwed over.
Yeah, what does it teach about commitment?
So that's where the line is, right? And there is this fine line. And that is why, for me personally, I lean towards as much as possible individualized consequences. It is where I lean both in high school and in youth. I personally lean towards both. Now, there is certain conduct that you are going to lose your privilege of playing on a team regardless. Okay. I don't need to go through
exactly.
That conduct.
Right.
I mean, there's some conduct that this is non-negotiable. We're kind of talking here about, you could argue, gray area per se,
right?
And I don't know what the specifics were, but like, obviously you do something major, you're off the team. That's not even a question. Okay. But those kind of could go either way type scenarios. I think you lean as much as you can to individualize consequences. I think you actually teach the opposite lesson that you're going to, there's a price to pay for the behavior you just demonstrated. There's a price to pay for the grades that you just exhibited and did. It's not going to be letting your entire team down and causing them to be completely challenged and compromised and put in a very bad situation. We're not going to allow that to happen because they didn't earn that. Okay. And when I think about sports, I think about the investment from parents financially. Okay.
Right. Yeah. I want to get to that. I'm glad you brought that up.
You pull a kid out, all of a sudden, like you're pulling your own investment out. So like now it's like, hold on, I'm not going to take the kid out of sports. I just paid for this. I paid $1,000 for this season. Okay. Like I'm going to take something else. Right. But it's not going to be that. So I think about the investment. I think about the overall time that's been put in to build the team and to build the progress and the momentum. And three, I'm going to be thinking about the other individuals as well, right? The coaches, the players. Man, if I took a kid out, my kid out, and that team got forfeited, that game got forfeited because of my decision, like that is completely wrong. That's completely wrong. If there's been a group of kids working all season long to get to this point, and we're now facing, you know, the biggest, most important game of the year, and I go and pull my kid out because of some behavioral stuff at home, not listening, you know, that type of thing. You know, as much as I'd want to teach that consequence and as much as it would pain me in that moment to allow my kid who clearly did something wrong to be able to go experience his greatest joy in that setting, right? I'd want to, you know, as much as I want to use that as an opportunity to teach him, I wouldn't be okay removing him and having everybody suffer the consequences.
Yeah, I think that's often overlooked. And I've got two young boys, and by no means are they the most, you know, well, they're young boys. They get a little rambunctious, right? But to your point on investment and then on everyone else too, I think they kind of go hand in hand because everyone's financial levels at a different point. And we don't know that at youth sports. So what might be a $200 investment for someone to have their kid play for 2 or 3 months, it might not mean that much to one family. And you're like, it's $200. We can pull them and it's not that big of a deal for us, right? Well, what if you're in this situation now where the team has to forfeit a game or it puts them just at a risk of you know, not being able to compete because you don't have people that should be there? One other family's $200 investment might be a lot. And they've sacrificed and they have invested in this season. And it's no fault to the other kids who didn't misbehave and they did the right thing. And now they're suffering unintentional consequences. Now, you could argue that, well, there's an opportunity for you to teach your child grace. Okay, I get that. It is an opportunity to teach that to a certain extent, but so many different people are involved when it comes to youth sports, and they've sacrificed work, they've sacrificed family vacations. And I was just kind of, I'm new school in a lot of ways, but I think I put this out on Twitter a few weeks ago. If there's one thing I'm old school, it's that you're going to honor a commitment that you've made. And my parents instilled that from me. Excuse me. And I was not a perfect child. I was disciplined. Things were taken away, but my parents always made it a point to honor the commitments that you make to other people. So that's why I think at the youth level, it becomes so hard to pull a kid away from it because you're not only hurting the players, but the coach is a volunteer. The coach is not getting paid. They're sacrificing time away from other things that they could be doing, whether it's work, family time, or hobbies or interests of their own. But now you're almost cutting into the commitment and the investment that coach has made into the young people's lives. And some people, they could see that as almost insulting. You know, I can see where someone gets upset with that.
Yeah. I mean, sports have taken on a greater weight in our world. There's more to it when you play a team sport. There's more involved. And I think when you sign up to play for a team, you need a full 100% commitment. Okay. And that commitment is going to transcend even teachable moments that parents try to incorporate. Because, you know, I even think about, you know, let's say in the high school level, you've got a couple of kids that are trying to get scholarships. They're right on the cusp of getting scholarships. They need to have good games and they want to have good games because they're really trying to pursue greater, you know, next level results. And all of a sudden, you know, you're, you know, let's say you're the star point guard and you've got a big, right, a center on your basketball team who's trying to get to next level, and you're the point guard and, you know, we don't have much depth behind you. And all of a sudden the parent takes you out of the team. Now all of a sudden the team falls apart. And now all of a sudden that player who was really trying to have a great senior year is now having just a mediocre year, right? Isn't really thriving the way he could because of X player. Now, once again, I understand the flip side. A parent could say, well, yeah, you pound that into that kid's head, the point guard's head, and tell him, look what you did. You caused. But is that right? Is that the best way to approach it? You know, for me, I'm going to let the kids play. Okay. And I'm going to identify other things that they're going to lose out on to get my lessons across. Okay. And, you know, there's going to be video games pulled, right? As I mentioned earlier, my mom pulled up my license. That was the big one. My license. I had a car. When you're a junior and senior, you know, and you have the ability to drive and a lot of your friends drive, riding the bus to school is not cool. This is not cool if you have the ability to drive and or hitchhiking friends for rides everywhere. You know, that's not cool when you have an ability to drive. So for me, it was removing of the license. But I think video games, I think being around the team, but then not being able to do team activities beyond the sport could be the consequence. Okay. Like, hey, after the game on Saturday morning, when everybody goes to pizza after as a team, we're coming home. You're going home. Tell your teammates at the end of the day, end of practice, when they are all, you know, hey, we're going over to so-and-so's house. We're going to, like, tell them, I can't. I messed up, right? I'm not allowed. Okay, like, that's where we're going to incorporate it, okay? But we're going to honor the commitment. And honoring the commitment not only honors the commitment, but it serves those who are also honoring the commitment. So we want to keep building in that space and not let anybody down over there. And I would love to simply ask this question for parents who keep their kids from sports as the punishment. I'd love to just simply ask them, are there any other options to teach the same consequence?
That's a great question. And it brings up a thought of, if there is, which we know that there are, if you take away, if it truly is something that the kid loves the most and you take that away and they don't learn a lesson or you don't allow for something to change in the behavioral aspect of there, what's the alternative? Because a lot of the times the actions then could go outwardly in a negative way in a different direction. And that outlet doesn't get taken out, you know, through sports, through physical activity, things like that. And you can play devil's advocate on a lot of this stuff, but ultimately, you know, we're in agreement on the importance of a team and honoring the commitment. For me, when you get to the high school level, again, I wasn't even thinking about the scholarship point. And I think that's a great point that you bring up. If a player gets taken off the team, it's easy to float someone up from JV. Or maybe the seventh or eighth person get a few more minutes and you honor that. But I think what you have to do at the high school level is be really clear from the beginning as a coach of what your expectation is and kind of setting up a clear communication to get everyone on the same page here. And so there's a couple of things we can talk about here in a little bit, but you know, what are your thoughts on that as far as at the high school level, Adam? should the coach play a role in this? Should the coach be intentional with the parent in their decision on how to discipline their child? Or is that a very slippery slope? Curious how you see that.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think, yes, I think it should be a conversation. And I don't think it should be a telling the parent what to do, but a conversation, a discussion. And I think if the coach is along the lines of where I stand on this, that, you know, are there any type of individual consequences that, you know, honoring the team commitment that we've put forth, all the work that everyone's put forth, you know, that decision is going to have a major ripple effect on everybody else. It's going to cause them to be punished. And that just doesn't feel right. Okay. So I would have a conversation with the parent. I would challenge and say, you know, is there any other consequence that we can explore that doesn't then disrupt and punish all these other individuals from it?
I think you need to clarify, just to make sure people know that what we're talking about and what you're mentioning there is the gray area beyond like school discipline, right? We know if they don't get grades, they can't play.
I'm not trying to like fudge grades here. Okay.
Right. Exactly. We're not advocating for that,
but you know, like kids just being like insubordinate at home, right? Just not really listening. Has an attitude. Parent is frustrated. You better clean your room one more time. If you don't listen to me, your football's done, right? Like things of that nature. Okay. So I would have a conversation, and the reason I would have a conversation and feel okay with having the conversation of challenging the parent, not telling them what to do, but having a conversation, it's because I'm in this with you as the parent, as the coach. I'm in this with you. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to develop and build this young person into a greater leader, greater character, all those things. I'm in this with you. And I don't want to lose this player because I think we have an ability to influence them as well. Because so that's the other thing we have to think about, right? When we go and we pull a player from a team, in most cases, that coach should be that additional voice driving what we want driven home in our young person's mind. Okay. So like taking that from them decreases the chances of them possibly getting better. Okay. Like if I know a lot of coaches, I'm going to use good friend Coach Neesmith. He's here in Maryland, head varsity football coach at Paint Branch High School. Okay. Incredible leader, loves his boys like crazy, has major influence over his boys. They listen to him. Okay. He is very approachable, but he also has that ability to lay down the hammer, if you know what I mean. He's got that great balance, okay? Mm-hmm. And if I'm a parent on a team like that, okay, with a coach like that, where my kids have this relationship like that with that coach, I actually want my player to be around that more. Okay, like I need more of that, right? And I'm actually going to go to coach and I'm going to tell coach like, hey, so-and-so did some things, has been acting in a way that truthfully they should lose football. They should lose football. Like the reality is like, they haven't really been earning deserving of this privilege at all. They should lose this, but I don't want to take it from them. Not necessarily because of them, but because of you all, because of everyone else. But coach, he is losing this and this, right? You know, there are going to be some consequences and all. I need you to be aware of that. I need you in your own organic, natural, authentic way to talk to him, to make sure he is clear and have some conversations with him.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I was texting Coach Kavanaugh, one of our regional coaches, you know, yesterday, who serves down in Louisiana, Texas area. And, you know, Coach Kavanaugh, if you get a chance to follow him, just does a great job of talking about building a program where all the stakeholders feel invested. And I wanted to share one of the points that he brought up was, you know, and this can't always be the case, but I really like the idea here that he shared. And he said, if I'm the coach, I could see me wanting to show a unified front. So even if the parent makes a decision, let's say they do make a decision to pull the kid for a week or a game or something along those lines, that I would want to make it seem like it was my decision as the coach. So the players and the other parents think that you're still the one kind of calling the shots on the team. But that can't get to that point unless you're clear with the expectations up front. So it goes to the value, as you mentioned, of having conversations. But I think that has to happen at a parent meeting early in the season. Whereas a coach, maybe you come in there and say, here's kind of my philosophy. Here's where I stand on the issue. I would love for us as a program and as a community to be able to have these conversations where parents can come to me, players can come to me, and we can work out that plan here. And it really goes back to your example of Coach Neesmith is a lot of the times coaches are another authority figure for these parents, and they need that alternate voice to speak into them on what to do or how to do. And you know, Adam, as a parent of young kids, sometimes you can tell your kids over and over and over until you're blue in the face on something to do. But if they hear it from one other person and it's the exact same thing that you said, all of a sudden it registers with them just because it was a different voice.
Yeah.
So there's power in that.
That drives my wife crazy. Because it happens in marriages too, right?
Yeah.
My wife will say, I have told you that like 5 times. And the moment your brother comes around and he says it, and then all of a sudden you think it's, yeah, let's do it. We're guilty of that. We're absolutely guilty of that. You know, I think you lose an opportunity to improve the leadership and character of your young person when you take them off the team. And because of that, I think that then compounds the damage. And you've got to be careful. Mm-hmm. Because there's already been some damage done. There's some behavior issues. There's this, there's that. And then we go and we do that. Now all of a sudden we're taking something that could get it better and removing it. And I don't think that should be the consequence. I'm going to take a video game because that's not necessarily going to improve it. Okay. I'm going to, you know, maybe some social activities of playing with friends and hanging with friends, like that's going to get removed. But like, I don't want to remove the good from the kid. And I think when you take sport away from them, you remove the good from the kid. And that's a dangerous consequence.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series, and this is today's leadership nugget. Assume positive intent when interacting with others. It can be easy to feel frustration whenever we disagree with someone that we work with. Launching into a conversation with your guard up and prepared to fight can easily be our default position. But the reality is that most people you work with are trying to help accomplish the same goal, even if their method may look a little bit different than yours. So the next time you go into a conversation that involves feedback or critique, assume that the person on the other side of the table is trying to help you and the company get better. This small change to perspective will change your outlook on the conversation. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
Yeah, it makes me think of a point too. Maybe someone's listening to this and they've had this question posed to them, or maybe there's a parent listening that has this question. Be like, well, Adam, as the coach, what gives you the right to discipline my child for behavior beyond the court or beyond the field? Where does your authority lie in that? You know, this is my child. This is how I see fit to best discipline them. I have an opinion on that, but what would your initial response be if you had a phone call or an email where a parent poses that question to you?
Repeat the question specifically. Like if the parent asked me,
hey, it's not your place. It's not your place. You know, let's say, you know, it's flipped just a little bit. Like you say you want the kid to still be a part of the team, right? Your preference would be for the kid to remain there, be a part of the team for the reasons just listed. But the parent then says, this is my decision. I don't feel like you have the authority or the right to tell me that I can't or I shouldn't remove the kid from the team. Yeah. How do you handle that conversation with the parent as a coach?
Yeah. So if the parent thinks I'm overstepping my bounds,
right,
then I think I do two things. I think one, I remind them that I want to offer up my input. Okay. So I do want to keep and frame it in a way that I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to offer up your input and offer up my input. And I will validate my input because of the fact that you allow me to pour into your kid above and beyond. You allow me to lead and love your kid above and beyond. You've never had an issue when I've gone out of my way to serve your kid above and beyond, outside the scope of the game. All the things that I've done to help develop and instill great character and invest my time and energy into that kid above and beyond, you've never had a problem with that. And because of that, then that communicates to me that you are okay with me pouring into your kid. That you're okay with me coming alongside you and playing a role in your child's development. And because of that, I think that allows me the opportunity to play a role in their discipline as well. You can't have the best of both worlds, right? You can't welcome all my time and effort to try to develop this young person and then tell me to stay in my lane when it comes time of discipline. We're right. Either in it or we're not. We're in it together or we're not. Okay. And that's where, like, I think about this also in praise versus critique dynamics in general, right? Praising athletes versus critiquing or giving critical feedback and such. Okay. Or quote unquote, judging them of behavior, commenting on behavior issues, right? Like only God can judge me. You'll hear things like that. Like, coach, that's not my place. Don't critique me. And I often think, hold on, let me, but yet you allow me to celebrate you. You allow me to observe your behavior. And when it's good, you allow me to put it on a pedestal and let everybody know. You totally welcome when I, you know, shout from the rooftops how proud I am of you, how much I believe in you, how much I am impressed with your work ethic. You welcome that. You say, oh, thanks, coach. I appreciate that, coach. You welcome that. So if you allow me that opportunity, you should allow me this opportunity as well.
Right. It makes me think of, you know, one of our phrases we put out on social quite a bit is that sports don't teach character. Think about that. I mean, let's just start with that, you know, and that would be something that I would maybe just say as reference. And ultimately, you have to kind of support the parent. We know that. But simply going to football practice, or if you're watching football on TV, or you're watching basketball on TV, lacrosse, whatever the sport is, just simply watching the game being played teach you how to be a better person. I would argue no. The way that the sport teaches you to be a better person is through the coach. The coach is the one that teaches you the lessons. They take the skills, they take the schemes from the sport and help you apply that to your life. So if you remove the person from the practice or from the team and the coach, where's the other option for them to grow at? Is there going to be another source or another person that then comes to speak life into that child and then to teach them and help them grow from that lesson? Probably not. You know, the sport doesn't teach it. And I know that's a lot of the times conventional wisdom, right? And sometimes conventional social wisdom is always proven wrong, because just because my parents did it one way, and that would be my challenge for anybody listening, is my parents did this when I was younger. They took me from it. They didn't let me play. They made me dress out. They made me watch the game, all that, right? But is there a better way, like we said? Yeah, let's go a little bit deeper here and really think about that. We made a commitment to be a part of the team. The coach is pouring into the athlete above and beyond. And when things are going great, there's no questions. But now when that kid is removed, there's probably more detriment being done to them, because now where are they learning those lessons from?
I don't want to go down a path that isn't in line with this episode, but you just said something. I just want to make a quick little comment on it, because it's a little pet peeve of mine. Okay. you made the comment about, like, well, you know, that's my parents did that, and you know, that's how I was raised. And that's how, you know, that I remember I got taken away from my team at this age. And you'll hear this oftentimes followed up with, and I turned out okay. And I turned out fine.
Right.
No, I turned out good. I turned out okay. Can we just stop that? Can we just knock that off? Like, can we, first off, I turned out okay. Who cares? Is there a better option?
Right.
Is there a better option? And the reality is we need to focus on what's the best option. Not about what you did, because and I don't want to get into a place that I'm not here to judge anyone, but you know how many people who made comments like that, I turned out okay. According to who? Like, I'm not trying to call out anyone, but like, here's a great example. Okay. I've had many conversations about, and once again, I'm not trying to go down a path, but this I've had many conversations about kids engaging in explicit content. Okay. You know, graphic content, language, the music they listen to and things like that. And you will hear so many people that are in the, it's not that big of a deal camp. Okay. Talk that exact thing. Oh, I remember when I was young, I listened to so-and-so, 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 you know, I listened to all that and I turned out okay. Right. I turned out okay. You've heard this right before.
Yeah.
Last I checked, when you looked at the general perspective of society, I don't think we turned out okay.
We have a lot of room for improvement.
When I look at morality amongst our country, when I look at behaviors across our country, when I look at how individuals respond to situations and how they talk about people in general, as a society, I don't think we just turned out okay. Well, I turned out good. I turned out fine. I think we have some room for improvement. So even if that is what you've always done, or that's how your parent operated with removing you from the team, or that's kind of a traditional thought process that you think of as a parent. Okay. Like let's X the, that's what we've always done. And we turned out okay. Okay. Let's put more thought, and maybe this episode is going to help drive us to put more thought to this topic, but is there a better approach? Can we utilize this negative, and can we somehow turn it or keep it into a positive? Okay. Where now, let me make this one statement. I do slightly differ on my stance, and this is the last thing I'm going to share. I do slightly differ leading up to a season versus in season. I have a slightly different approach.
So you're off season, that's the time to remove them.
Where if we're in week 8 of a season where we've been working for 3 months now as a team collectively, and we're moving in that direction. Okay. And we've got all this and everyone's relying on each other and everyone plays a role, that type of thing. I'm not pulling the kid at that point. But if we're in June and July and the season starts mid-August, and there is continual behavior issues in June and July, and there have been warnings communicated to the kid, hey, listen, I don't know what's going on in your world, in your mind right now, but the way you're behaving isn't acceptable. Okay. You know, if you continue, like, there may be major consequences. And then if the player continues and continues, there could be a chance I just say, you're not playing this fall. You're not playing this winter. And although that does let the team down, it changes things. Okay. Cause then going into the season, now everybody has chances to prepare without that person versus removing them in the midst of it and completely disrupting everything. Okay. I do find a difference there.
There's a lot of offshoots that we could go from this one episode on different nuances in coaching that I think could be fun to explore. So again, any of our listeners, I would love to hear kind of your thoughts as we've gone through this. And if there's any ideas, experiences that you've had along these lines, and I'll share one that just kind of, you know, I jotted down going through this, Adam, at the youth level. we talk about what is an option, what's an alternative. I think it's important that maybe we offer an idea rather than removing the kid. So at the youth level, instead of simply just removing the kid from the game, it's a great opportunity to sit down with them and kind of teach empathy in a way to where you could sit down with your child and be like, your behavior warrants me removing you from the team. However, Johnny and Tim or Susie, whoever, if I take you away from that, that means they might not be able to play the game on Friday. How do you think that would make them feel? Or Coach John is volunteering his time to help you become better. And if you're not there, then the team can't play or they can't practice what they need to work on for the game. How do you think that would make the coach feel? And so if they can maybe internalize some of that on, you know, it'll lead to one of my final thoughts. If they can begin to internalize that at the youth level, I think that is a good way to do that. I would probably personally go that route with my children and take away their iPads for a week, not let them be on it. And they would hate. That's like our go-to right now is, all right, you're not going to do this, not going to quit. We'll take away the iPad for a few days until the behavior changes. At the high school level, the example that you were just sharing, again, this is a Lead 'Em Up podcast. So, you know, we're always going to speak to the value of what we do and what we believe in. It's a great opportunity to reference the green team. Is this behavior in the offseason right now, where are you at? Are you green? Are you gray? Or is this red? How is your behavior helping the team get to green? Are you bringing us back down from where we were? Then, you know, if it's full encompassing, our coaches know this, here's a great opportunity for you to go recruit the lifeguards on the team. Hey, so-and-so's doing this. We're in danger of losing them. We got to bring them back up to green because he's gray. One more thing, they're in the red and we're in danger of losing him. And then our season could suffer as a result. So as you get a little bit older from youth to middle school to high school, that's just the value, I think, of what we do and how we can help parents along that way.
Yeah, I mean, it can really be a team effort. And if you're in sync communication-wise, as you just brought up the green team, you know, a coach could sit there and set a standard and say, we don't want red players. Like, we understand there may be red moments throughout the course of a year, but we don't want to welcome into our program red players out of the gate, okay? And if that standard was set and everybody knew about it and parents knew about it, the parent could almost put that out there to the kid and say, you know, like, not only do I not want you to play if you continue this way, but like coach doesn't even want you in the program either, because you agree your behavior is 100% red and it has been red for the last month. Okay. And coach doesn't want that red behavior. And I am not in favor of it. So you could almost use that as an angle of like, you know, what you're doing right now, you know how you're behaving right now, and you know how it lines up with what coach wants. He doesn't want that. You either make a shift over the next few weeks as we approach the season, or if you continue down this path, you're not going to play this year. Okay. Because for a variety of reasons, once again, I think you're right. There are a variety of different contexts here. Okay. That different scenarios, one-off situations and things like that. But in general, I think there's so much value of the team. There's so much value of the coach being able to continue to pour in. I think it's so important that we recognize the work that's been put in to get to where we are and that there would be significant consequences for people that had nothing to do with the situation that we really need to think about. And, you know, we should really try to evaluate, is there other ways to get the same point across without disrupting everybody else? Okay. As you mentioned, coaches, parents listening to this, please let us know your thoughts on this. Send us a message on any of the social channels. You can always email us info@leademup.com, goes to the entire team. Kyle, fun conversation, fun thought process to dig into. Probably deeper than most people have ever dug into before. Anything you want to end with?
Ultimately, this conversation, I think, leads to the point of getting the athlete to understand that their actions not only affect themselves, but they affect other people. And again, that we just challenge the thought process of learning that lesson through simply removing them. How can we better serve the athlete and the team?
I agree. I absolutely agree, Kyle. Listen, we appreciate you listening. I'm Adam. He is Coach Kyle. Have fun and lead them up. Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal, served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A. And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead them up.